Forgiveness is the business of God. The heart of our Christian faith is the cross, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. From that cross, Jesus proclaimed, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Even in Jesus' moment of greatest pain, abandonment, loneliness, betrayal, even in that moment, Jesus is saying, "Father, forgive." The cross is a sign of forgiveness, that God has taken on himself all that we were deserving of because of our sin and our brokenness, all of it Jesus has taken on himself, that we might have no barrier between us and God. God's move is always one of forgiveness and grace towards us, even when we haven't earned it. Well, that's forgiveness, isn't it? We haven't earned it. God pours out his lavish love upon us because God's desire is to be close to us and to know us. And that means that, challengingly for us, the business of disciples is to be forgiven and to join in that work of forgiveness. This is always a move of God. I'm not sure that we have it within us often to forgive. It is something that God stirs within us. And so our starting point has to always be knowing that God has forgiven us. And I wonder how you feel about this. Sometimes when we come to confession, I know this myself, I can try and drum up a list of things I've done wrong, I can feel really sorry about. And sometimes there are weeks where I'm like, I've done nothing wrong. And I can then struggle with the forgiveness because I'm like, Lord, I haven't done anything wrong. But when we really think about it, our nature is one of sin. Our nature is one, let's unpack what we mean by sin a little bit. Sin to me, and we'll probably all across the different theological spectrum have different thoughts about what sin is. For me, sin is about living a lie. There is the story of God, and that story says, you were created by love for love. That is your story. Your story is that God desired you to be in this world, desires relationship with you, loves you, calls you close to him. That is your story. Your story is love. Your story is that you are a beloved child of God, called into God's kingdom, called to shine as a light in the world to bring glory to the Father. That is your story. To me, sin is when we live under a different story. And we can pick a million of those different stories, can't we? Instead of child of God, I am something else. Instead of loved, I am unloved. I am unworthy. Think about the outworkings of sin. Often with sin, we think about the visible things. And that's what I'm talking about when I come to those weeks where I'm like, I don't know what to say sorry for. I haven't lied this week. I haven't done whatever. We can think of sin as the actions. But sin is anything that gets in the way of us living under that beautiful story of God's love, creation and redemption of us. And we do it all the time because we stand as disciples in contrast to the world. The scriptures say over and over again, be in the world but not of the world. How much do we soak up a story that is not our own? That we are not lovely, that we are not precious, that we are not perfectly created, that we are not redeemed. How often do we live under a different story? Happens to me all the time. The outworking of that story is often we become insecure, we become uncertain, we live under a narrative of scarcity rather than God's abundance. We battle for status and wealth and all these things. And that to me is when we start to see the practical, physical stuff of sin. This is where we need forgiveness. We need repentance where God continuously calls us back to himself and we say, Lord, I have stumbled. I have missed your story. I have missed my value. I am coming back to you. Repentance is literally a physical turning around. Imagine you're going in one direction and you need to physically turn around and choose a different path. We talked last week about how often it is easy to stray off the narrow path. Repentance is that coming back. Lord, I am sorry that I chose a path that looked more appealing than the one you are calling me to walk. We are all in need of forgiveness because that's the nature of the devil. The devil whispers in our ear a different story. The devil pulls us off the path and we are in need of forgiveness as we come back to that path, to the story of God. I wonder how comfortable you feel coming to the Lord for forgiveness. And I wonder how you feel about yourself. Sometimes one of the moves that we can forget is we know in our heads that God has forgiven us. We need to do that inner work where we know we are forgiven and we forgive ourselves. This might be really painful and uncomfortable for some of us, but I want to just ask you this question. Is there unforgiveness in your spirit? Not towards other people, but towards yourself. Maybe there's something that you have done in your past that you cannot let go of. It might be that you experience real crushing guilt about something. Or perhaps even more specifically, it might be that you wrestle with shame. Shame is the, I am something wrong. I'm not good enough. This is shame language. I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy. I'm not loved. I wonder if you hold on to that. And forgiveness is part of reclaiming the story of God and releasing those things to God. Perhaps some of us have got some deep work to do this week in bringing ourselves honestly before God and forgiving ourselves. This will transform our relationship with others. Something that is really common in our relationships is that we can experience unforgiveness in ourselves, towards ourselves. That means that we struggle in our relationship with others. So, for example, we might struggle with something we've done in our past and we notice somebody do something that feels similar and we want to leap and we can't forgive them and we get angry and our response can be massive because we haven't dealt with that inner stuff. Maybe this week, the thing that you need to do is find some space, some time to talk through with someone, to pray with someone, to just be with God. Release the unforgiveness within me. Lord, teach me to forgive. Teach me to forgive and start that with me. We have the capacity to give because Christ forgave us first and Christ always forgives us. You are loved. You are beloved. There is nothing, the scripture tells us, there is nothing in this world, in the next world, in anything that can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. That includes your shame, your guilt, all of it. There is nothing. Do not feel afraid to bring the reality of yourself before the Lord. And this series is the one another's. Forgive one another. So we need to talk about that. And that's a huge spectrum, isn't it? You know, the things we, I don't know about you, but some of the things that I struggle to forgive people for can be so little. It can be that somebody once, you know, years ago said something, a flippant comment about me that hurt at the time and cut me really deeply. I can struggle to forgive and let that go. And sometimes we think we've forgiven somebody for these things and then it kind of comes back and comes back and comes back. But I'm also really conscious that when we talk about forgiveness, we have everything from perhaps a name that you were called when you were a child that you're struggling to let go of, all the way up to things that are horrific. We know that in this world, there are things that happen to us, that happen to our siblings in Christ, that happen to the rest of our creation, that are what we would class as unforgivable. Perhaps that resonates with you. Perhaps there's something that as we talk about this, this is feeling really painful because there is something for you and you think, I can't possibly forgive. And I want to tell you a story. And I might have shared this before, I can't remember. But this is something that I found really helpful. I had the privilege when I was at college of going to Rwanda. And we met with people who had been victims of the genocide. Their family had been killed. And we met with people who had been perpetrators. And we had this beautiful encounter with this woman. And her husband and her children had been killed. And we had the perpetrator there. And she told us her story and she said that he had gone to prison for his crimes and he had been released and he came and knocked on her door and he said, forgive me. And she said, I'm sorry, I can't right now. but when the Holy Spirit stirs you, come back and I will be ready. And the church were fundamental in helping that. So this man came back actually years later and asked again, and she said, the Lord has stirred forgiveness here. And the church helped them to reconcile. The church in the different communities actually got perpetrators and victims to sit and listen to each other's stories, to share, to press in when they felt like pushing back. I suppose what I want to say in that is forgiveness is really hard, especially when it is something that feels unforgivable. But forgiveness is freedom. When we are in a state of unforgiveness, we are bound by the story of what somebody else has done for us. And I just want to find for you, just remembered, there's a beautiful word that came, that I saw the other day. I'm just going to find it, which spoke exactly about this. And this is a quote from Omri Nowen. Forgiving does not mean forgetting. When we forgive a person, the memory of the wound might stay with us for a long time, even throughout our lives. Sometimes we carry the memory in our bodies as a visible sign, but forgiveness changes the way we remember. It converts the curse into a blessing. Forgiveness allows us to claim our power and not let these events destroy us. It enables them to become events that deepen the wisdom of our hearts. Forgiveness indeed heals memories. There's a difference between forgiveness and reconciliation. Reconciliation is what we aspire to, where the hurt and the hurter, it's not really often that clear cut, is it? But let's go with that for now, the victim and the perpetrator, where they can share their story and they can hear one another. They can have a new relationship after the hurt. That's not always possible, and it grieves our hearts enormously. It grieves the heart of God when we cannot reconcile. But forgiveness is something we can do. It's a move that we can do regardless of the other person. Forgiveness does not mean forgetting. Forgiveness does not mean no boundaries or being a doormat or repeatedly letting somebody hurt you. You can forgive and say, we can't be in a relationship anymore for my safety, for our protection, for whatever, but I forgive you. You can forgive and still put boundaries in place. I want to just give you some steps. I wonder if these are helpful for you in thinking about forgiveness. The first is really important. It's name the hurt. Name what has happened to you. That might be that you need to say it to that person. It might be you need to name it to somebody else. It might be you just need to name it before God. What is it? Sometimes when something happens, there's the thing and then there's all the feelings around it, and we can lose sight over time of what is the thing? What is it that we need to forgive? Get specific and name it. Bring it to the Lord. Confession might not be something we particularly do in our tradition, in the sense of like what you would imagine as more Catholic confession, but that can be a really helpful thing, where we name before the Lord the things that are hurting us and the things we have done, and we receive personal forgiveness and freedom. And it might be then you need to speak to the person. It might be actually once you've named the hurt, you can let it go. It might be you need to speak to the person. It might be that you need to talk with somebody else about the way forward with forgiveness. But forgiveness is a move of God. So do not try and bypass the Lord, because the Lord has abundant grace. Notice in our passage a couple of things. Firstly, the Lord says to us that we can forgive as God in Christ has forgiven you. We need to know our forgiveness in order to be able to forgive. And notice too, this is really relevant for those of us who struggle with the forgiveness isn't forgetting and that kind of balance. Notice how the forgiveness comes at the end of this passage, after all the instructions about how to live, all the stuff that we do to one another that hurts. This passage in Ephesians says get rid of it, and then at the end it says forgive. The two go together. We need to have transformed lives that go with forgiveness. Name the hurt before the Lord. You might need to name it to the person. Forgiveness is specific. There isn't like a process that everyone can follow. It's dependent on your situation. But I encourage you to be open to the work of forgiveness this week, because straight after this passage, it says, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. We imitate God when we forgive. Live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Forgiveness is costly, but it also comes with a great reward of freedom, as we know ourselves to be defined by the love of God rather than the actions of others. Keep committing to the journey. Forgiveness isn't necessarily a one moment thing. It might be something we need to come back to over and over again. But this week I challenge you, as with every week so far, number one, know the forgiveness of the Lord. Know his grace, his lavish love over you. Number two, do that inner work. Where do you need to forgive yourself? Where are you hurting and perhaps you've been shoving it down and you need to allow some space for that? Number three, where do you need to forgive, or perhaps where do you need to ask for forgiveness in your relationship with others? Where perhaps do we need to call out for forgiveness in situations in the world? Where perhaps do we need to say, I'm part of a system that isn't my own making, but I'm part of it, and I need to ask forgiveness, not just for myself, but for those who have gone before me. Forgive one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you, that we might be imitators of God and live in love as Christ has loved us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.